Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on Wednesday, the 26th of August, 2020. And thank you for being with us. If you're listening on the archives, we appreciate that just as much. Don't pay attention to the date. Whatever date you're listening is fine with us. And we know a lot of people do that. Welcome to the nature of podcasting. We appreciate it. And we put up a new schedule of all the shows we're going to do over at our website, which is education-talkradio.org. And you can go over there any day and see all the shows we've ever done. And so we've got lined up in the upcoming week. There's a past shows icon. There's industry news over there, and we change it every Saturday as we create a new schedule for the following week. Okay, education-talkradio.org. More important to us these days is our Consortium for Equity over at ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org, an acronym, if you will, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ACE-ED.org. Everything we do over there is free to educators in pre-K-12. We're going to talk about pre-K today and early learning. I'm going to tell you about that show in just a second. All right. And we invite you to join with us. We have a wonderful online journal over there that gets rave reviews. It's called Equity and Access. Please go over, take a look at what we've done. We're doing it for you and for the kids. We want your voice heard at ACE-ED.org. All right, and we have a terrific show for you today, thanks to my friend Jimmy Minicello over at AASA, the Superintendent's Organization. All right, we're going to talk about early learning and how COVID has affected that and ways to evaluate early education. And we're going to do that with Eddie Manusik, who's the superintendent of Dundee Community Schools in Dundee, Michigan. And we have another guest, Mr. Todd Whitlock, who's the co-founder of a company called Standards for Success. And we're going to talk all about, he's also the CEO over there. We're going to talk about this with them. We're going to start right now. Eddie, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, call me Larry, please. And I'm going to call you Eddie. I think that's what you like. Is that okay? Or should I call you Ed or Dr. Manusik, whatever you want?
No, Larry. Eddie is fine, and it's the last name is pronounced Manusak, but that's close enough.
As the old joke goes, I emphasize the wrong syllable. Right? That's the old joke. Thank you. Thank you, Eddie. And tell us about tell us about the – say it again so I do it right. Say it again.
Manusak.
Manusak. Thank you very, very much. Manusak. Yep, I would not have pronounced that right, so I appreciate that. Okay. Dundee Community Schools, Dundee, Michigan. And by the way, good morning, Todd. How are you before we start that? How are you today, Todd?
Good morning, Larry. Thank you. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Todd. Good morning.
You guys know each other. Obviously, we're going to get into details. I just want to learn about Dundee, Michigan schools, okay, where you're the superintendent. You're the co-chair of the AASA Early Learning Cohort, okay? And where is Dundee, Michigan? Describe the community to us and tell us what's going
on
with COVID. COVID, the ulcer-inducing challenge of superintendents nationwide. COVID-19, what's going on?
Yeah, no, for sure. We are located in southeastern Michigan. We're approximately 20 miles south of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we are residing in Monroe County. It's the extreme southeastern corner. We have 73 square miles in our district. We're considered a rural district. We have approximately 1,800 students total, and that is pre-K through 12th grade, so not a very large district. And, you know, we, much like all districts in the nation right now, are dealing with issues dealing with COVID. And we have approximately put resources, toward getting ready for our start of the school year, which is Tuesday, September 8th. And we have spent, and it's growing, but we spent approximately $750,000 on preparedness and staffing and all of these things.
Yeah.
You know, we moved from a single-tier bus system to a double-tier bus system.
I was going
to
ask you that.
Hybrid plan. Yep, we have a hybrid plan that we're putting in place. And so it really has been a very, very challenging summer. I'm entering my 26th year in professional education. This is my fifth year as superintendent here at Dundee.
Yeah.
And it is my most challenging by far.
Yeah, and it's making I want you to know you're not alone out there. Okay, every superintendent across the country, every school district is going through the same aggravation. Okay, and
absolutely.
I say this to everybody: what you've decided to do is the best we can do right now. Be proud of yourselves. Tap yourself on the back. Say good job. If things have to change, they will. We're all in unknown waters, okay? And they're shark infested, okay? But we're doing the best we can. Okay.
Yeah,
and
actually,
really,
a colleague, that's the beauty of the AASA. It helps us stay connected with colleagues, not just from our own state, but around the nation.
Yeah.
And one of our colleagues from Iowa, who unfortunately just had the horrible wind event that went through Iowa, she's been dealing with
awful.
That. But she has kind of shared this with us, and it stuck with me to say that we're all in our first year. This is all, everyone's in their first year. No matter how many years you've got in, nobody can say that they have experienced what we're experiencing. And I think that's, there's a lot of truth to that. So Dr. Stevenson from Marshalltown, thank you for that phrasing.
You know, it's true. And we're just learning as we go along. And I hope, and this is key, think of this as an opportunity. All right? We have to do something new and different, and that's, although COVID is horrible, this may force us to do things differently. We look at things. Let's look at it as an opportunity and realize that we're going to make errors and we're going to do the best we can, like a new NFL team, a new NFL franchise. So, right? It takes a while to get going. Okay, so
being a Detroit Lions fan, I have a new NFL team every year, so you can hopefully sympathize with me. And I agree 100%.
I was just going to say, except for the Detroit Lions, who are still having their trouble every year.
Yeah, no.
Okay, we'll see. And the NFL's going through the same thing you are. What to do this year is unbelievable. Okay, just wild.
Another colleague of mine, Dr. Peter Finch from Yakima, Washington and West Valley Schools, he has coined the phrase, either you're dealing with things BC or AC, and it's before COVID or after COVID.
There you go.
And I really believe in that as well, because this has changed education tremendously, and I think there's going to be things for the better, for sure.
Without question, it really will. Okay, I really mean that. It's going to take a long time to play out, and it can still be BC before COVID and AD after disease. We'll see what happens. Okay, it's going to be that simple.
Sure,
Todd, I didn't mean we got off on a tangent there a little bit about the NFL. Okay, and I apologize for that. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate
it. My pleasure. My pleasure. And you're the CEO and the co-founder of is it Standard or Standards? I just want to be sure I got that right. Standard for Success?
Yeah, Standard for Success, correct.
Singular. Okay. Yes. And tell us what that is.
So Standard for Success is actually a company founded by educators. I'm a former educator as well as our other co-founders. You know, we provide turnkey solutions to solve problems that, you know, Eddie and his fellow administrators face on a daily basis. But our goal is, having been educators, is to try to provide solutions that make their jobs simpler and meaningful. And the custom software solutions we provide and the thought leadership we provide is driven by, you know, customer needs, you know, the school's needs, and our own personal experience having been in those roles. That's why we try to kind of set ourselves apart, because we have been administrators, we have been teachers. Everybody works for us, it comes from that field. So, you know, everything that we provide to the clients, to the schools, you know, is aligned with our mission of trying to help build better teachers, better students into the better world, especially in the environment that we're in today with everything changing. Yeah. We want to keep a focus on that, you know, the better students, the better teachers, and the better world component with it. And, you know, we started in 2011. We're going to be talking about early learning today, but we started in 2011 when around the nation, you know, states were implementing more stringent teacher evaluation laws and requirements. And as a district administrator, I was asked to come up with a solution. How are we going to collect this data? How are we going to implement these new policies and actually make it meaningful? And at that point, I couldn't find anything that I could recommend to my district or the districts that I was doing consulting work with. And so I reached out to some colleagues. We happened to be involved in ed tech and said, you know what, I think that we can do better than what's out there. And fortunately, one of our co-founders actually used a program a teacher in Alaska had created. And I said, you know, why don't we talk to this guy? And he was a computer science teacher, but a programmer as well. And we had a phone call in 2011 with Alan, and I said, hey, Alan, this is what we need as administrators. This is what we need. And November of 2011, we had a beta. In January of 2012, we had schools coming on board with our teacher evaluation software. And now we're in 20 different states, 400 school districts doing teacher evaluation software, graduation pathway software, Eddie's early learning program assessment tool. And now we've even entered the higher ed accreditation and growth tool for teacher and administrator candidates, again, with this mission of trying to provide better teachers, better students, and then contributing to a better world, hopefully, is what we're trying to do.
I hope so, too. And a better way to evaluate them, it's standard, that's singular, standardforsuccess.com. I did go on the website, Todd. It's really interesting stuff. And basically, we're talking software, teacher evaluation, et cetera, which is key stuff. And we can go into that a little bit more. But it's interesting, you know, besides the fact of COVID, okay, and we have to deal with that on a daily basis, as Eddie was saying in a few minutes, it's just nuts out there. We still have to run school districts, okay? We still have the same challenges we had before COVID. Now, on top of that, you plug in COVID. Okay, and of course that became the top priority: student safety, student health, teacher safety, teacher health, staff, etc. All right, but we still have all these other challenges, and one of the challenges that I want to talk about this, because Eddie is the co-chair of the AASA Early Learning Cohort, and Todd just mentioned the Early Learning Program Assessment Tool called LPAT. We'll talk about that in great detail. All right, but talk about early learning, Eddie. Let's just talk about that in the time of COVID. Maybe that's the way to put it. I sound like the great author Gabriel Garcia Marquez, "Love in the Time of Cholera," early learning in the time of COVID.
Right. Sure, Larry. Thank you.
Write a novel.
So,
write a novel.
Yeah, no, this. This is quite a challenge. I think the first thing, and I really appreciate the work that you're connected with the ACE organization.
Oh, thank you.
It really is about.
Please join.
And it's really about equity. When you talk about early learning, a student's zip code should not define the quality of the education they receive. And I really believe, you know, I've been able to share that numbers of times, and I know it's probably been a borrowed statement from many other people ahead of me, because I stand on a lot of other people's shoulders when I talk about this. But I know that during COVID, it really is also about partners and building partners and building coalitions and having the proper communication. And one of the things that I know we as a district had done is we had reached out to our largest local center-based providers and just communicating with them about what our plans were about 3 weeks ago, so they knew ahead of the public release of what we were attempting to do, so they could begin planning how we would attack this together as a group, because, you know, they are true partners, because districts no longer are considered to be K-12 districts. We are truly, you know, P-20 districts. And, you know, we have to begin aligning our thought processes around that. We have to begin thinking in terms of what does that look like? And, you know, if our elementary principals that we, you know, so value, I was an elementary principal in my career, you know, begin talking about, you know, our schools as incorporating, you know, those families that are yet to be, you know, officially enrolled students of ours, then I think we've made a lot of inroads there, because it is about truly valuing what our families are doing at home prior to children coming to our school. And, you know, 90% of a student's brain is developed before age 5. And so we, you know, are missing this pristine opportunity in some circumstances, in some areas of really engagement. And I know that some of the work that I've been involved with on a local level here in my own state and in my county, we have a Monroe County Superintendents Association Early Childhood Plan that we've enacted that's been modeled after the Buffett Early Childhood Institute, which is out of Nebraska, in the Omaha, Nebraska area. And I just know
that
there is great models.
Not Jimmy. Yep. That's Warren Buffett, not Jimmy Buffett.
That's true. Regardless, I just know that it is paramount that as leaders in our field, and, you know, it makes me think back to this last Saturday. I know Sir Ken Robinson had passed away too early at age 70.
I did hear that. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yes.
Oh,
and
Lord.
So there's a quote that I really believe strongly in that I'm going to share with my staff today in an email message that says, "When you stand there with your children, your class, what you do next in the, is the education system so far as they're concerned. And I know it's layered, but as you start to engage them, you are the system, and what you do next is up to you. And that also gets to, you know, Simon Sinek's work of, you know, leaders, you know, as we are leaders, it's leadership is not about being in charge. Leadership is about taking care of those in your charge. And I think that's the role that we have really, you know, that's been demonstrated time and again by my fellow superintendents around the nation, and also the principals and the teachers and the support staff and everyone that's involved with schools, from food service directors to everyone. I mean, we've really tried to take care of those in our charge over these last 6 months, and we've got a, probably another year ahead of us, you know, that we're going to be doing that in a very intentional and deliberate way because of COVID. So with early learning, it really is about socially distancing, you know, your children in your program, following all of the guidelines that are ever-changing. I know the CDC changed guidelines last week again, but I know that every state should have some type of implemented, you know, kind of safe start program for schools. And I know that, you know, my state is no different. We have, you know, varied levels here in our state. And so some districts in our state are completely online. Some districts, like mine, are in a hybrid plan. And then other districts are actually doing 5 days a week face-to-face learning. And, you know, it just it varies based on where you are in your community.
And nobody knows which one's right yet. Nobody knows which one's right. And
that's right.
I always say err to the side of caution, especially when kids are involved. Okay,
yes.
But I don't know if that's the right way to do it either. Okay, it's that simple. So I hope everybody's plan works out is the easiest way to say that. Best for the community. We know, what can I tell you? You know, it's just we're all just dealing with day one, so to speak. It's a brave new world. And by the way, I have to say I did not know about Sir Ken Robinson, who I've met on several occasions. And I just feel terrible about that. My Lord, he had, I just while you were speaking, I just went to his obituary, and he passed away from cancer just a few days ago. I'm sorry to hear that.
Early. He left us early, and I know there's a 2006 TED Talk. He basically put, you know, creativity on the map again. It never went away, but he really, in his own special way, highlighted some really important things. So I just know from, you know, just to comment again, Larry, on the early learning and the early childhood education piece in COVID, I know that Dr. Deb Bergeron from the, you know, Office of Head Start, she's the, you know, program director of the nationwide, you know, OHS program. And I know that she and her team at Head Start are really working hard to get information in the hands of, you know, the locals. And so we have reached out, my local district, because we have Head Start in my district. And so we've worked out where our hybrid plan, which is students come to school on Monday and Tuesday, and then they're remote learning on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's cohort A, and then cohort B, it flips. So then cohort B is in school Wednesday, Thursday, and then remote learning on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. The Head Start program, and then Michigan also has a four-year-old state-funded preschool program as well, and it's called Great Start. So our Great Start and Head Start programs in my district are following that same protocol because we wanted to offer two consecutive days of face-to-face learning instruction per week for our students. Because I know there's some that are doing alternating days, and my school opening task force that we had, I know a lot of districts organized these, and ours had been meeting since May. We reviewed over 50 pieces of research, medical journal articles, state and country reopening plans, and really tried to make a data-informed decision about what we felt was the best and safest way for us to open our school. And our local intermediate school district, who is a fiduciary agent for our Great Start and Head Start programs, our early learning programs that we have, also agreed. And so they're using that same model. And so we're really proud of the fact that we've built that strong coalition so that we can at least get some face-to-face learning instruction. My hope is it'd be great to have a first month in, and then come what may. You know, you just don't know.
Literally come what may. And what you're doing is the right way to do it. And again, I'll say it. We're doing the best we can. Okay, yeah. So just everybody, like I said, tap yourself on the back, say good job. Okay, we'll see where it goes. All right, everybody's putting safety first. Now help me out here, and this is interesting. All right, we're very concerned about early learning, and you said that is an equity issue without question. Again, go over to ace-ed.org and join our consortium. You too, Todd. I'll talk to you about that if you want. All right, because it's really where you're going to put. But put, if you can, Eddie, and I want to swing over to Todd over at Standard for Success. Put what Todd is doing, how you guys work together. And I know it has something to do with this early learning program assessment tool, LPAT, which I believe is out of Standard for Success. I'm not sure of that. Okay, so put the two of them together. Eddie, kind of you do that segue, and then I want to talk to Todd about it.
Absolutely, yeah. So I am very fortunate as a local superintendent and also the co-chair of the AASA, early learning cohort from a national perspective, to have such a wonderful national partner in Standard for Success. And I know Todd and his team at SFS have just been wonderful to work with.
Nice.
And so I had worked on this resource and gotten feedback from the early learning cohort on. And so a part of my, because I'm currently pursuing my PhD, so there's my research is tied to this resource as well. And so I know that we are, have this national launch of this resource that local superintendents, it doesn't matter the size of your district, and what it allows us to do, because there is not another resource on the market that does what this does, so that it measures your district's ability to meet the needs of your children who are from ages birth through age 8, because it uses, as a thought partner, the NEYC has been a strong thought partner with the National Association for the Education of Young Children, with the AASA Early Learning Cohort, but it uses that framework of that's what early childhood education is. It's from birth through age 8. And so there are four key areas that are measured. So it's birth through age 3, and then preschool, which is ages 4 and 5, and then kindergarten, and then grades 1 through 3. So it has four distinct areas it measures in a rubric fashion. And then there are 11 components to the birth through age 3 area, and then there are 14 components for the other three remaining age categories. And so then it produces a score. But what makes the tool unique is it has embedded within it research-based best practices from numbers of resources that, so if I, because a lot of my colleagues around the nation that are superintendents don't have as, a connected background as like what I do, because I'm a former kindergarten teacher and I have a very specialized undergraduate degree from Butler University in early childhood education. So this has been a theme for me that's woven through my entire professional career. And it's just been this huge passion of mine. And so when you're doing something like this that you're passionate about and you love what you do, it truly doesn't feel like work. It feels like you're doing this because, it's the right thing to do. And so really excited to be able to offer this resource to our colleagues around the nation. And what Todd and his team have done at SFS then have made it be this amazing, really easy-to-use digital resource. And it's really created our ability then with the partnership, because the AASA is now an organization that also is SFS is now a partner organization with AASA.
Yeah.
And so they are also recognizing the significance of this resource. And so this resource then becomes something that we have now a national way to collect data on districts' readiness with regards to areas such as instructional practices, such as family and community engagement and outreach, professional development, social emotional development, curriculum and resources, learning environment. All of these areas are measured within this resource, but then we have the ability now to quantify it on a national level, so that when we have to have that elevator speech to legislators to discuss the important topics that early childhood education has to offer, we will literally then be able to pull information from the districts that participate in with SFS with this resource, and then we can then share that on a national scale. It just gives it so much more teeth, so much more robustness.
Yeah, it does.
It amplifies the voices of what good things are being done in our local public schools around the nation. So, Todd,
yeah,
I know that you and your team have been amazing. So I know I could talk forever about it, but go ahead.
No, you did. By the way, let me just say that was an excellent explanation. He stole most of your thunder, Todd. He loves you. Okay? He loves
no,
you.
Yeah. The best part about it is I was chuckling a little bit because you remember when I said at the start that we try to provide solutions to make it simple and meaningful? when Eddie's passion with this and
yep.
and the four different rubrics and the 11 different areas and so forth, to be quite honest, if you don't have the experience that Eddie has, it's really
yeah.
complicated. It's very
yeah.
detailed. And so one of the things when I first met with Eddie and we sat down in February out the national conference and he showed me the tool and had a booklet printed out and had it in spreadsheet form using macros and all these different things for calculations. And I'm just thinking as my former role as a district administrator in charge of technology and curriculum, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people, there's no way they're going to be able to do this. Not because they don't have the time to do it. It's just really complicated. And if we can make a way to make it easier for them to do it and then curate the data so it's easily accessible and reportable, then we've made this tool to Eddie and ASA and the other thought leaders that contributed with him, we can really make it powerful because now we can curate that data out and we can report out in non-identifiable manners by demographics.
Yeah.
And now we can actually start driving policy and programming. And so many times in education, we collect data and don't do anything with it. But now if we have curated the data enough that we can actually see trends, see almost like progress monitoring, we can see from year to year, are we identifying areas that we're doing well and areas we're not doing so well in our programming? Are we making adjustments and are we seeing the impact? Ultimately, we want to be able to do research that shows how it also then will impact student achievement. But the main thing is implementing the research-based practices in the programming and having the data that's there at your fingertips for the leaders to say, okay, we are doing this or we're not doing it well, and then reach out to those that may be doing it well and in cohort groups to be able to then have peers to lean on and not be throwing darts in the dark hoping you hit the board. So the work that
Good
they
point.
Have done to collect the data and then us to be able to curate and program it to make it more user-friendly, I think is one of the things that we bring to Eddie's group and ASA and the cohort to try to get it out there.
Yeah, well said, my friend. And you used the word 20 times in your statement, and I couldn't agree with you more. That key word is data, all right? And we could all go anecdotally and say, yeah, early learning is important, and, geez, we have a good system here in XYZ district, et cetera. But we need data, okay? And we need to be able to measure it. Okay, against everyone else. That's what data does. It gives you a rubric, if I may, a way to measure, okay, and see how you're doing. And I cannot emphasize and not reemphasize what you emphasized, okay, that data really matters. And the more districts we get at doing this, the better off we are because it's going to become like a national data program. And, again, their standard for success is working with AASA, which, of course, is the School Superintendents Association. And, you know, when one goes to your website, Todd, Standard for Success, I think it's standardforsuccess.com, right? Is that right? I think it is.
Yeah. That is
yeah,
correct.
standardforsuccess.com, which is a good website, by the way, everybody. What pops up is teacher evaluation software, okay? But obviously, and I know you do that, you're welcome to talk about that. I think that's really important to create, again, data, et cetera, and give us a way to make it really matter. But are you measuring with LPAT, the Early Learning Program Assessment, are you measuring – the teacher, or are you measuring the whole program? Okay, I just want to get that straight for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. No, LPAT is on the program. Yes, obviously we do teacher evaluation, and that's how we started. But with the LPAT program, it's the program assessment. And there are people that get confused and say, well, wait a second. I already have something I evaluate with teachers. We're not looking at teachers. we're looking at the program. Teachers are part of the program and the professional
right.
development that they get and the professional development the administrators get. You know, that's part of the program assessment. But it's not – we're not looking at not – you know, unfortunately, people feel like we're picking if you're looking at the teacher or the instructional people. You're not looking at that. You're looking at the overall program. And I think that's key. And especially in the environment we're in right now, you know, as mentioned earlier, you know, everybody's beginning educators now, whether you're an administrator or you're a teacher, we're all beginning. Same thing with our programming, our early learning programs. You know, now we actually have an opportunity to innovate. We have a chance to do things differently than we've ever done and actually look at everything we do with the magnifying glass and say, we need to make a change, and now we have an excuse to make a change. Now we have an opportunity to innovate our practices and our programming.
Mm-hmm.
And by having these research-based rubrics, it gives us a great benchmark to base those decisions off of, not just because Todd thinks so or Eddie thinks so, but – Here's research books out here. These statements are taken from these research resources, and now we can start looking, okay, now let's innovate and let's change based on what this resource says. What it says, this is a success statement. How can we implement this at Dundee, at Perry Township, at, you know, wherever it happens to be? How can you do that? And I think that's our opportunity that we've not had in education as leaders. We've not had an excuse to innovate. We now
That's
have
right.
an excuse
Thank you.
And,
we do.
And a mandate.
Excellent.
We must innovate. And so
Excellent.
The door is open. Let's take advantage.
Yeah, all of a sudden we've got the rationale to do what we always wanted to do, and you can't argue that right now. The time has come. I want to swing over what you do, and Eddie mentioned this before, okay, with LPAT and all the other things you do, because I think this is important. And I want to talk to you, if I may, because you know it's dear to me, about equity, all right? It
yeah.
seems to me, all right, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems to me things can be haphazard. A district in South Dakota might think they have the greatest early learning program in the world, but they don't when it's compared with everybody else. And by the way, don't get mad, South Dakota. I just use that as an example. we'll use Maine, where I live. Maine. We'll use Maine. Okay? But my point is sometimes we think we're better than we are or we're worse than we are. All right. And can you put this, and again, for my sake and for my audience and my interest, et cetera, but I think it's important these days, and Eddie mentioned it as well, this equity thing, because every single district has that as a top priority, and I recognize COVID is out there, okay? But equity still matters, all right? Can you put it in that kind of a context for me? And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I think you'll be able to do it.
No, that's absolutely true. And one of the things that we've had discussions with people looking at implementing this. They said, well, can we tweak the rubrics here and there? I said, no, this is a set standard that we're going to implement across the nation because we don't want it changed. We want to evaluate the programs on the same standards for everybody. So we know whether Indianapolis, Indiana, in you know, an urban setting is evaluating and implementing their program the same way that Eddie up at Dundee in rural Michigan is. And we want to look at those programs to make sure that the kids have the same opportunities for
yeah.
quality programming. And if it's not, we can look at like demographic areas and say, what are you doing differently to be able to provide program? So now we have one of the things that I was talking to the superintendent the other day said, if we participate and become part of this cohort where you're collecting our data in non-identifiable manners when you report out, but will we have access to a contact list in these cohort groups? And that's absolutely yes, because you
mm-hmm.
want to be able to have
yeah.
an easily accessible database of people
mm-hmm.
that are in like environments for you outside of your county or outside of your state. We get so caught up in looking at or what we're doing in our county or our school or our state because that's what the media reports and compares us to. We want to get outside our norm, outside of what we're comfortable. We may be doing things very well in Indiana or very well in Iowa, but we're well behind what they're doing in Maine, as an example, use Maine. So we want to be able to compare not just in our locale, you know, where we are on our daily basis and how we operate, but how do we compare when we get outside of that area? And then we bring the equity back in and we take out the boundaries of the regional limitations that we have placed upon ourselves, just because that's mm-hmm. easy for us to do. I think that's critical moving forward.
It truly is. And I must ask you a question. By the way, guys, we've got about 5 minutes left, but I want to ask you this question, Todd. And I'm not a data guy. I mean, I can read it, but I don't know how to do it. All right. And my question is, as you set up software like this, maybe this question has been asked to others, how do you set the baseline? In other words, where's the point where things are good and below that things are bad? Does that set itself up, or is that set up by the software? Which might be a question that requires a full 3-credit course at the University of Michigan. but if you can help, how do you do that?
So one thing for this software, for LPAT as an example, Eddie and his thought leaders that worked with, they looked at all the resources out there, and they actually set a cut score as being moderate success, high success in those levels. So we program it in so that it will then give them a score. And I think after we can collect 3 years of data, I time to reevaluate. I think Eddie's probably mm-hmm. opened that at that scoring mechanism sure. to see where it really stands. And that's where yep. you bring in the people much smarter than me, the statisticians, that say, okay, let's actually look at all the data piece by piece and then reevaluate yep. our scoring mechanism based on actual data collected. Unfortunately, there's not been data collected like this, so there yep. is no norm. Wow. They were going based up wow. on the research, and this is where they think it falls.
Right, and it's a question I ask sincerely, because I'm sure everybody like me, we don't understand. I think what you're doing is terrific. I think this is so darn important, because I I'll say the cliche: you don't build a good foundation, you don't build a good house. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so this early yep. learning matters, and it still matters even during this age of COVID. Okay, everything we always do still matters. We just got to add the COVID mess on top of it and see where it goes. Todd, can people get in touch with you directly to learn more about this at standardforsuccess.com?
Yeah, and absolutely. And if they want to reach me direct, they can just do as simple as Todd, T-O-D-D, at standardforsuccess.com. And
perfect.
Most times I have my email with me. I'd be more than happy. If I can't find an answer, I know someone that does know the answer.
I'm sure you do. And, again, this is a program that AASA is partnering with. Okay, and you can't get a better standard bearer than the Superintendents Association. It's that simple. Eddie, are you all excited for school?
Yeah, we are.
Excited?
Yeah, we are. I know the students are. Our staff is getting excited. Our hope is that we can begin the year on a positive note. And then, Larry, if I could, I just wanted to give a plug to our early learning cohort that two times a month we have a webinar, and then we have a Twitter chat. And actually today at 1 p.m. there is a Twitter chat, and it's hashtag AASA Early Ed. And that'll get you connected with our Twitter chat, and that's at 1 p.m. Eastern today. And then, speaking of equity, and this is something I can share with you after off call, and I can send you the information, but on Thursday, October the 22nd, the AASA Early Learning Cohort, in partnership with Standard for Success and Waterford Research Institute, are offering an early learning early learning cohort equity symposium. And we have Drs. Hetty Chang from AttendanceWorks, and Dr. Todd Rogers from Harvard, Dr. Diana Whitlock from SFS, are all going to be partners with us as we dive deeper into the equity issues surrounding early learning. And so really excited to be able to offer that as well. So I'll make sure to follow up and get you that information as well.
Yeah, I'll call you later today. I'll get your number. That's not going to be a problem. Are you at your office? Can I call you at your office?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to be safe there. I'm going to call you at your office, because we'll be happy to help you with that. Okay. With our
perfect.
Consortium. Okay. So
perfect.
We love hearing
awesome.
That. Good stuff. And by the way, Waterford is very good friends of ours. So I'm thrilled.
Yeah. No, they're great people.
That's well. They are great people. They truly are great people. All right. So thank you both, gentlemen. This is really exciting stuff. Okay. It's really good. You can put your heads on a pillow and sleep well tonight. Both of you. Okay.
All right. So. Well, thank you very much, Larry. And Todd, as always, a pleasure to be on a call with you.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you for the opportunity. You guys have a great day.
You too. Take care, guys. Be safe. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Eddie Menusak, I hope I did that right, Menusak, okay, the superintendent of Dundee Community Schools, Dundee, Michigan, and he's co-chair of the AASA Early Learning Cohort. And also Todd Whitlock, who's the co-founder, he's also the CEO of Standard for Success. It's good stuff. StandardForSuccess.com. Okay, and I'm going to talk to Eddie further about all this. All right, we're going to archive the show in education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. LinkedIn is under my name, Larry Jacobs, and Facebook is under both Larry Jacobs and Education Talk Radio. If you want to friend us, follow us, LinkedIn. Okay, AASA is AASA.org. Okay, again, a great group, and thank you, Jimmy, and all that. All right, everybody, join our consortium. Eddie's going to. Okay, I hope Todd does, too. I'll talk to him about it over at ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening.